Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And that song goes along really well with what I want to share with you this evening, as a matter of fact, because we do live in very interesting times. Yeah, let me see here. I took my notes out to show something to somebody, and guess what? Ha! You're safe. I do have them, my location found at last. But, well, you know, everything about God works out in a perfect manner. You know, sometimes you ever scratch your head and you wonder, why is God doing it this way or that way or something else? Well, as I was preparing tonight, before we go too far, so good to be able to stand before you tonight and share the good word of the Lord. However, whatever else may happen tonight, God is so good to us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows how to bring it our way, whether we know and understand it or maybe even appreciate it at the time. Well, tonight I have a message to you called the firecracker. And I tell you what, when it came to me, I talked about scratching my head, you know. How's that all going to work out there, you know? I don't know what that has to do with some of these things. And I think, well, look, boy, that looks pretty good up there. But I asked the Lord, I said, you know, what's all this mean? You know, how am I going to bring a message out about a firecracker? I don't know about you. I got a little more age on most of you here today. Well, all of you here today, probably. But when I was growing up, a firecracker in Indiana was a little hard to find because you couldn't sell them here. Our idea was a firecracker was usually a sparkler. Ooh, that big, wasn't it? Huh? Or they had something called, they called them snakes. I guess they're called firecracker snakes. I don't know whether they're still around or not, but it was a little bitty pellet about that tall, and when you lit it, it would string out into something bigger. Okay. That was a lot of excitement back then, folks. if you had plenty of money and you could afford to, you could take a roll of caps, break off half of them or whatever, and put them on something hard and slam them with a hammer. Bang, okay, they would pop pretty good, you know, so kind of hard on money whenever you had to buy them back, but you know. But all those things was kind of my limit to what it was, unless you had something called a friend. You know, the friend that went someplace else and came back and he had stuff that you could either buy, or if he's a good friend, he might give you some or whatever. You know, but that's how you would get firecrackers, real firecrackers back then. And I thought about that in today's marketplace when you can drive down the road and you see fireworks and firecrackers. And as a matter of fact, the fireworks has almost replaced the firecrackers with what they do and everything these days. But I thought, okay, a firecracker is a small explosive device primarily designed to produce a large amount of noise. Well, we got a lot of noisemakers around, that's for sure. Especially in the form of a loud bang, usually for celebration or entertainment, which I thought was interesting and well. Any visual effect is incidental to this goal. So basically, it was just a big noise is what it was primarily. But I thought the interesting part mentioned in the definition was it's used for celebration and for entertainment. And anybody ever set off a string of firecrackers and watch them go, bing, 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 bing? Yeah, that was entertainment, wasn't it? Yeah, you know? And I thought about this, and I know we've sold fireworks through the youth department over different points of time, but I thought about that. You know, firecrackers is kind of an explosive when you come down to it. And I thought, you know, you've got to be a little careful with that. We had a neighbor he wasn't either careful or else it wasn't of the best quality because he lost part of his hand. Yeah, they had a thing back then called a cherry bomb. It looked like a cherry, yeah, and it had a little stick coming out of it. You light the stick and you threw it away real quick. Well, now, either he didn't get the real quick, or else it was a defaulty because, you know, how many ever runs a QC check on a firecracker? Well, or make sure it comes from a reputable firm. Yeah. Best you can hope for is that they did it right, because where they worked at and put it together, it would have gone boom maybe before you got it. But anyhow, they used to take those cherry bombs, and there were some dump trucks around where we were at, and throw them in the back of a dump truck. You know, instead of going boom, it goes boom. You know, it was kind of neat sounding if that's what you were after. Unfortunately, like I said, he didn't let go of it soon enough, or something else happened because he lost part of his hand. So, you know, here's something that's for entertainment, something to celebrate with, but yet if it's either mishandled or it isn't done right, it can be destructive as well. So a firecracker is something that, you know, you may give it some casual thought, especially if you're going to be purchasing them and playing with them. Playing with them, that's probably not the good term. But anyhow, if you're going to purchase them and then set them off, you want to make sure of a few things. Because, you know, there's people around. You ever throw one on the ground and somebody walk up to it before it goes off? That wouldn't be too good. Or some other things can happen to it. But part I was wanting to emphasize on that right now is that you just got to be a little careful with it and make sure it is what you think it is and that it works the way you think it's going to work, and then use it accordingly. And I thought about this, and I finally turned to the scriptures, and I thought, well, you know, sometimes we just take a lot of things for granted when it comes to what's called the gospel. You know, you can get what everybody else is telling you is a good thing. Does that make it right? What's the only thing that makes it right? Is if it's in this great book of ours that the Lord has provided for each one of us. And you know, and I know that there are things in it now. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we might be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And then another scripture says that he had it hid in his heart that he might not sin against thee. And, you know, I was thinking coming in this morning, or this evening, yeah, it didn't take me that long to get here. Coming in this evening, that, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I could memorize all of this? If I really had it all hid in my heart? I may bore you to death trying to get all that out in my message tonight, but, you know, it would be nice if we had it all hid in our heart. But I know that's pretty much impossible, because I've read the scriptures a few times, and I'll go back and read it another time, and guess what? Something else comes out of it. That's why sometimes if you read about people that are interpreting the scripture, why they don't get everything. Because every time you read it, God can reveal something else and bring something else to light that they would have missed. Or you've missed. Because God's word is always going to speak to us and help us. Amen. All right, so there is the story of the firecracker, except for one thing. How many of you have ever heard somebody referred to as being a firecracker? Yeah, used to hear a lot more than, I haven't heard it too much lately, I guess, but used to hear people talking about, oh, they're a real firecracker. What did that mean? You want to stay away from them because they're going to blow up? Or, you know, they just allowed a loud noise and didn't really mean anything? What? But so I looked up and I said, I got a definition for you for what it would be considered a person that was a firecracker. It says that they would be spirited. Oh, that's good. Quick-tempered. Got to kind of watch that. Or a rambunctious person. Well, I got to admit, everybody that I ever thought of being a firecracker or was a pretty excitable or excited person. They just didn't, well, I think it's a good day. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to watch the world go by. Well, don't laugh at me. I'm just sitting here. Well, there are firecrackers that are duds too, aren't they, huh? All righty. But as I was studying, it came to my mind, who in the scriptures can you think about that might have been referred to as a firecracker in those terms? Simon Peter. Thank you very much. Quit when you're ahead, okay? I want to go to the book of 2 Peter, as a matter of fact. No, wait a minute. Let's not go there yet. I'm getting a little too rambunctious. I got to slow down a little bit. First of all, I want to go to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3 for our text. Got to have a text. Let's see here. There's that one, and there's that one, and there's, huh? Oh, there you go. Oh, yes, that's the same one. Okay, we're good. Okay, it's, why don't we go with the first 3 verses, I think it is. But it says, therefore I recall to my mind, and therefore have a what? Hope. What kind of hope? That the Lord's, well, did I read all the first one already? I should have looked up there, shouldn't I? Okay. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not what? Without the Lord in our life, what's going to happen to everyone? They're going to be done. They're going to be a life of regret, and then in eternity, there's going to be a price to pay for that as well. But it says, here's something really good. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail when? Not. If you will look for the Lord and you call upon the name of the Lord and try to walk uprightly before the Lord, you can rest assured that his compassions will not fall short. Okay, next verse. Whoa, aren't you glad of this though, really? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, I tell you what, I've thought of that over and over again. Every morning, does God just empty out the day before and his mercies come in fresh and new every day? Does it take that, really, for the Lord to be able to deal with us in a loving and kind manner? Because there's a lot of people that just doesn't want to get what God is trying to show and share with them. But if you will open up your heart to him and those mercies come in, he will help you and he will guide you each and every day of your life and your walk that you can have with him. Now let's go to the book of 2 Peter. See, I am ready. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse. Now let's just go to verse 1. Actually, I'm going to look for the first 15 verses up here, not because they have... Yeah, they do all have great meaning. So, okay, verse number 1. Simon Peter. So who are we talking about?
We're talking about that guy that sits in a corner and never done anything.
Not in the Middle East. He's a guy that sometimes we think got a little too impetuous and too rambunctious and said some things that he shouldn't have said. But when it was all said and done, who got these? Whatever else you want to say about him, in the end, he was the one with the keys. So I don't care what your station in life, your walk in life, however you think you're up or you're down or middle or whatever, God has a place for you and I. Every one of us has a specific job and purpose in God's plan for mankind. I say for mankind because really when you come down to it, your and my influence doesn't just end with me. It goes with those that are beside us, behind us, in front of us. They impact others all around about us. Simon Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle of... Let me start over again. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's given his terms there. Now, he isn't just an apostle. He isn't just a follower. He isn't just a disciple. But he says he is a servant. And believe me, that takes in a lot of territory that sometimes we just pass over. Is to allowing ourselves to become a servant of the Lord as well as the other things that he would call on us to do. Okay, and he goes on and says, to them, who would them be? Them is going to be the church, or those he's speaking to you. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That means that there are individuals, and hopefully includes each and every one of us here tonight, or if it isn't include us tonight, we can get in and enjoy the benefits that's going to be talked about in the remaining part of this church, the remaining part of this chapter. The good thing about Peter's comments here, I think, to you and I, is that these are some of the last things that he left before his departure from the earth. This is something to keep in mind as we read through these. So, to those who have obtained like precious faith, what he wants you to have is grace and peace. What? Be multiplied. The X factor. Okay, don't want you just to have a little grace and peace, but he wants it to be multiplied in you, and that comes through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Your peace and your comfort that you're going to be able to enjoy in life is going to come through the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that others can't have some measure of it, but if you want true peace, a peace that passeth all understanding, it's going to come through the Lord himself. You got to have it through him. All right, next verse. According as his divine power, you know, what we have in us is not just some little mealy, moly, small thing. It is through his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Almighty God is one that's dealing with us and calling us and trying to bring us to a place where we will be found in him, not only now, but also in all time to come, till there is no time. He has a place for us, but he needs for us to follow him and to receive from him what he has for us. Next verse. All righty. Whereby we are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. This is one of the first verses I came across or learned or thought about whenever I first started going to church. His exceeding great and precious promises. You know, is God an awesome God? What are God's promises? His word is what? Yea and amen. Let it be so. And I'm not talking about a little bitty boom down here when it comes to God and his great goodness and glory. We're talking about a huge opportunity to receive something from him that is so great we can't comprehend it. But it is for whose benefit? Everybody say me. It's for my benefit. Okay? It's out there for us. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. These will help us to be what God wants us to be as individuals in his kingdom. Oh, look what happens when you try to take on Christ and follow him. You, having escaped the corruption is in this world through lust. You get to bypass a lot of the trouble the world is experiencing and has to deal with on a daily basis because you have laid aside that kind of life to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. It's what he's trying to get us to do. Now, how many of you have ever, I want to say this kindly because I was a smoker. How many of you have ever been a smoker that just hacks and coughs and can't do much more than smoke? Yeah, you ever been around? I visited a guy in the hospital once, had cancer so bad it ate out the side of his face. Yeah, that wasn't a pretty sight, I'll get. But the thing that got me even more than that, he had at least two ex-wives that was there taking care of him in the hospital, visiting with him. And they would light a cigarette and give it to him, and he would take that cigarette, put it in his mouth, and then he had to pinch his mouth so he could suck on it. Yeah. Does this make sense to anybody?
No.
No. He was probably so far gone it wasn't going to make any difference if he didn't, but you know, that's how bad this world can get a hold of you and destroy your life. And that's just one thing. What about all the other things you can read about and hear about and see that destroys a life? Yes, one of them. There's many of them out there that will destroy you and that will just lead to, well, can't be happy like that, can you? And that's in this life. That ain't going to help you on the other life either. So, but having escaped that, so if you're in God's plan, trying to walk with God, do the things that are right, guess what? A lot of those things are going by the wayside because you don't have to deal with them anymore. Uh-huh. Okay, verse number 5. Let's move on. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, we're going to talk about the graces of God in our lives that we can have and enjoy. Faith, virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge, and go on. Next one, and to, did we skip one? Yeah, we skipped one. Let's back up one if we can. Ah, good. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance,
patience.
Okay. Now, I know I've heard a lot of things about patience, but as I understand the scripture, when it talks about patience, what is it really talking about? Is it enduring anything and everything that comes your way? A little bit of that, but basically it just means to be steadfast. That's what the word normally is translated here. Steadfast. What does it mean to be steadfast? Okay, well, you know, he could be right. I don't know. A steadfast person is somebody you can depend on to be there. It's not just wishy-washy. I know one person they talked about. They said that if they went in for a trial and they were listening to the closing arguments, guess who they would believe? The last one closing out. Whatever had the last word was the person that they would follow. Okay, now is that being steadfast? Is that having your mind made up and you know able to weigh this and weigh that? And you know, that's okay. That's what you're there to do. But, okay, just because the last person says this doesn't mean that it's right. Another thing that one of them was sitting there and they was talking to him, trying to figure out whether they wanted to be a jurist or not. They said, it said to this one, said, hey, help, do you think this person is guilty? Well, number one, the police arrested him. That was one thing that made him guilty, which is, you know, that's a pretty serious thing. Don't get me wrong on that. But it was in the newspaper. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't get much better than that. Okay. But, you know, if you believe everything you read, I'll tell you what, you're not going to be very steadfast in anything. All right? But that's really what the patience is talking about, being steadfast. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, yes, I do. Do you believe in Hobo Jobo? Well, I don't know. Hobo Jobo might be pretty good. He may be a good guy. No. A steadfast person is one who, number one, knows a little bit about what they believe in the first place. And number two, because we had knowledge in here, didn't we? Had temperance, okay, so you got to control your bodies and emotions and everything a little bit. And to have patience, okay, well, yeah, I want to be steadfast. I won't go with that story. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, and with temperance, patience, and to patience, what? Godlikeness. Okay, next verse. Now we're ready for 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Well, that applies to him, but never mind them. Wait a minute, that isn't right, is it? Brotherly kindness is something that you and I ought to have for one another and show to one another. That doesn't mean that we can't like other people that's not among us necessarily, but among ourselves, we ought to at least treat each other with love and respect. After all, if they're a child of God, they're a what? They're a child of God. You know, and we might have disappointments and disillusionments with one another, But it still means that they're still part of the family and you need to act accordingly. Okay, and to brotherly kindness, I love you. What kind of love are we talking about? A real love. A real love doesn't expect anything back. You know, I'll tell you what, I love you. Here's $5, but if you can give me back 10, I'd appreciate it. Yeah. I didn't get any takers either, did I? Okay. Just thought I'd try. Okay, but having brotherly kindness and charity, all of these things rack up into a lot of things that ought to be a part of your and my life. Somebody say amen. Okay, all right. Yeah. All to be a part of our life, okay? Because these are all good things. These are all things that's going to help you and I to walk a life that is according to God's path for us. All right? Now, we walk this path. God's going to be pleased with us. If he needs us to veer to the left a little bit, what do you think is going to happen? Because I'm steadfast, because I study the Word of God, because I listen to God, I'm going to move a little bit. But all the time, I'm still going to be walking that straight path that he has laid out for me. And that's what God wants for each and one of us. Don't miss out on any of these blessings that can come your way. Enjoy them. Uphold them. Matter of fact, what's the next verse say about that? Oh, for if what? These things be what? Say me. If all those things be in me, and what? Abound. Not just a little portion, not just a get a by portion, but if they abound in you and I, then what can we expect? They make you. Now, well, there might be a little goodness out of that. No. They make you that ye shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will help us to walk and to do that which is right. How many of you ever found that if you do one thing for the Lord, what does he usually do back? He'll bless you. You know, you do something else? Oh. How many ever resisted the devil and ever felt bad about it afterwards? Doesn't happen. You resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. When the devil's away from you, guess what? Oh boy, this is a day that the Lord hath made. And as the devil tries to get on your back, you just shake him off. And this is still a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. Why? Because God is so good. God opens doors for me. God closed a few doors too in life, my lifetime. But God knows the way. He said he will always make a way. Even, I mean, have you ever been there where you, I don't know how this is going to work out, Lord. As a matter of fact, when I got this title for the message tonight, that's kind of the way it was. Okay, but a firecracker. All right, let's move on to the next one. Verse number 8, but he that lacketh these things is what? He really can't see what's real in life, folks. He is really blind. And I tell you what, sometimes I think we are guilty. Let me see what the time was. Good. All right. Second hand doesn't count. Yeah, it was pointing toward 8 o'clock, and I knew it wasn't 8 o'clock yet. But he that lacketh these things is blind. A blind person cannot see and know and understand spiritual things. And sometimes when we're around other people, we expect them to be more righteous and spiritual than they really are, or they can be, because they've never been into that yet. And because of that, they're going away a lot different than we are. Okay, that didn't cost you anything. But you're blind and cannot see afar off, why? If you can't see it far off, guess what you're going to miss out on? I mean, you ever hear of a place called heaven? Okay? If you're blind, you can't see. You're not looking far off. You don't get it. This day is important because it's the first day of the rest of my life. And what I do today will impact what goes on in the rest of my life. Okay, can I see afar off? Have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, but now he's continued on in them. Next verse. Okay, but the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Now, I will tell you, when I first started putting this all together, making your calling and election sure was one of the key parts in my mind. And it is one of the three main parts I want to impart tonight. It is so important that we make our calling and election sure in the Lord. It is important because we don't want to miss out. God doesn't want us to miss out. As a matter of fact, God will just about do anything and everything to make sure that you don't miss out. But there has to be a choice on my shoulders. Yeah. I cannot shake those responsibilities or give them to somebody else. My wife is a great wife. She takes really good care of me and helps me to stay on that right path. But I cannot depend on her to get me where I need to go. That's on my shoulders. And now as a brother and sister in the Lord, that's our part to help one another to get there. But by and large, when it comes down to it, it's for you to make your calling and election sure. Because if you do these things, what does it say? That last part of it is a great part too. It's so easy just to blow on by that for me. But when you come down to it, it says, what? You shall never fall. You talk about promises. Man, I tell you what, if I know that I am never going to fall, I should be doing what? I should be paying attention to all these things and doing them and letting them not only just be there, but to abound as well. Because that will help strengthen me and make me a better Christian and a better servant of the Lord himself. All right, now, verse number 11. So, for an entrance shall be ministered unto who? For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Okay, it's not a little bitty tiny door the Lord wants you to squeeze through to get to heaven. Thank God. You know, it's not 3 miles wide, but it's not 6 inches wide either. Better be careful, I'll fall. I'm not supposed to fall, right? Okay. So, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the what? Everlasting kingdom. Now, we're getting down to the real good part. How many want to go to heaven and be forever with the Lord where everything is all well and good? All right, good. That's most of you. I shouldn't have said that. It was too tempting. I guess it just got away from me. Okay. Where's my patience and long-suffering? Okay. But shall be ministering to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, hey, listen, folks. You do these things, guess what? There's an everlasting kingdom that's for you. Yeah, it's for me. It's for you. You can get this. This is nothing hid under a basket. This is not something hidden in the back resources of knowledge, wealth, a part of the world. No, this is something that's open and available to all of you. Everlasting kingdom. It doesn't stop. Hallelujah. All right, verse number 12. We're only going to verse 15, so I guess you get how close we are to the end of this. Wherefore, I will not be ignorant to put you in what? Remembrance. You know, Peter's getting ready to check out, so to speak. But he's telling you and me and anybody that will listen, he's bringing this to our remembrance. Because we need to know. It's important. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God's opened up a way for us. He says, if you'll walk in the light as I am in the light, this thing's going to be all right. I'm going to show you the way. This way is not hidden to the Lord. He knows exactly where we are in our walk. He knows how to direct us in our own path so that we make it all the way to the end, the way he wants us to, doing the things that he wants you and I to be doing. Okay, remember some of these things, though ye know them, and be established in present truth. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet that as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir up by putting you in remembrance. Once again, he's talking about remembering. His final words is saying, okay, remember? I think as long as I'm here, I'm going to cause you to remember. It's important because I want you to make it all the way. It does no good to start this wonderful race and then miss out, folks. There's a prize at the end of this race. Okay, verse number 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. I know it's my ending. I know I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to be able to encourage you. I'm not going to be able to speak to you. I'm not going to be here. My end is near. And verse number 15 says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decrease, to have these things always in remembrance. Please remember them. Please don't let them slide. Please don't let them get away from you. I want you to have them, to know them. We're just about done. I hope everybody else is too. But I got one, I got two final things. Number one, I got three key points, and then I got a great close for you. And it's not goodbye. It's got something else to do with it. But it's got something to do with the message, okay? So don't get me wrong here. Okay, don't let your circumstances control what you know to be true. Now, we're living in a world that, man, I can turn on the TV or the internet or whatever, and I can hear anything I want to hear. I can hear we're doing great. Everything is well and good. I can hear, ooh, things are bad, folks. We're going under. My money's doing good. Oh, wait a minute. No, that person says, no, my money's doing terrible. It's going to all be gone. We live in the greatest nation on the earth. Well, I won't argue with that, although there are some people. We talk about how bad America is. I mean, it's just not fair. How stupid is that? Can you look around? Now, we made some mistakes. I better be careful here. I think we've made some mistakes in the last year or so that almost made me fall again. There's been some things happen in the last year or so. You know, if I go back a year and a half, 2 years, did I have to worry about buying gas? Was gas a pretty good price? Yeah. I could go to the supermarket and find stuff. Now some of our shelves look like it was taken in rushes in the 60s and 80s. Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. Yeah. They say we were had energy independence back then, too. Guess what? Oh, Saudi Arabia, won't you please give me some more gas and lean? And on top of all that, what are they talking about going to happen maybe here in the next few days or weeks? Go to war. We can't even take care of ourselves. How are we going to take care of something? How many thousand miles away, say? 4,000 miles away. You know? And guess where all of their, where a lot of their petroleum and gas and stuff come from? Russia. They shut down that pipeline to Europe. All right, that's enough of that. I'm just saying all of that to say this. We are living in times that are perilous. Things are happening really fast now. Some people seem to think that our time is even being sped up. I know I go to bed at night, before I know it, it's morning. Before I know it again, it's night. Monday becomes Friday. Because things are happening at such a rapid pace. So that's the kind of world we're living in. Do I Can I let those circumstances get to me? I better not, had I. Because who's in control? Who has a plan for everything? Who's always going to make a way? God is, okay? So I cannot let these circumstances be the things that dictate to me whether I'm feeling up or down or whatever, because that's all they are, circumstances. Now, does that mean it isn't troublesome? Well, I can't say that. But God is still God, and God will always take care of his own. Okay, number two, be sure and make your calling and election sure. You are the one that has to do that. Somebody else may tell you right or wrong, but you're the one that has to make that between you and the Lord. And number three, if you do all those things that Peter talked about, you shall never fail. You never fall, not fail. We can come short sometimes of the glory that the Lord wants to have in us, but he will always take care of it in the end. And now for my close. I said a few things about a person that's called a firecracker. Now, I don't know whether you consider yourself boisterous, loud sometimes, highly energetic. Maybe 30 years ago, yeah, maybe, I don't know. That doesn't count. It's what you are in your heart that really counts. Because I'm going to guarantee you, 30 seconds after the trumpet sounds, I'm not going to be sitting in a chair thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't get this done. I would love to work for another 8 hours. Oh, maybe I should have dusted this off a little bit better before I left. What do you think I'm going to be doing? I made it! I made it! We're here! I tell you what, I think there's going to be a little bit of excitement up there among all the participants, because God has finally said enough and drawn and brought his children home to be with him. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, there's probably going to be a little bit of noise. A little bit of noise. Okay. I think everybody's going to be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Now you know why they don't let me lead song service anymore. Okay. All right. I only got one more thing to say about the firecracker. I do think on the other side, those that are there is going to be rejoicing and having the greatest time ever. But a firecracker is only good, what? One time. There's no do-overs. Okay? When it's expended, it's gone. Make your calling and election sure in the Lord. It'll be worth it all in the end. I guarantee you. All right. God bless you all. Good to be with you tonight. Trust that you will think about these words and really do try to apply them to your heart, and be sure and share it with those around about you as well. We are living in the last days. Amen. And I'm going to ask you just to stand with me, and I want to have a word of prayer together, asking God's blessing on us, upon our families, upon those that are unable to be with us tonight. Let's pray for a pastor. Ask God to bless him and his activities as well. Heavenly Father, thank you to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Almighty God, for your touch, your word, your spirit, Lord Jesus. I ask you to help us here tonight and guide us here tonight as we leave your house, Lord Jesus, but God, never from your presence. Do help us, Lord, to be a great light for you. Be a light to those around about us, and help us, Lord, be found faithful in all that we say and all that we do. God bless this church, bless our pastor, Lord, bless his family, and bless us all in Jesus' name, and guide us, for which we say thank you. Amen. God bless you all.